Welcome to A Woman's Brew, where women talk about beer. Today, we're taking our fellow hopheads on a journey through the land of lupulin to talk tasting techniques as we attempt to guess the hop. I'm Joanne, and this is Tori.
Hello, hello.
And we're two beer-loving women on a mission to get more people drinking and talking about great beer. Come join us.
Us will be doing more talking than others.
You're going to find out, listeners, now, if you listen regularly, you're going to find out how we batch, because you're going to be able to tell from my voice.
I think you have a very sexy, gravelly voice today.
Thank you.
It's a sexy, gravelly voice, and I'm here for it.
This is what happens when you have events every week of the month. I've spoken to too many people.
Germs as well. There's no way that there's no germs involved there. And it doesn't help when you get germs and then you have to shout over the sound of music. Oh, no. But look at the dedication you have. You've got so much dedication.
I'm still here, guys.
Still record. Still I even here. Said I would say the intro and it would probably end up with me going, I'm Joanne.
Properly Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, I actually would probably. I wrote the damn thing, and I probably would have struggled to say it. So I'm very well impressed, and I'm glad that I didn't have to do it. We all get to experience the soothing tones you've got.
The mellow tones of my voice.
Love it. thing is, what we're doing today. This has been we kind of have to sort of do this soon. Joanne's dedication was so we could get this out to you while I was still hot off the presses.
It was.
what are we doing today? Do you want me to say what we're doing today
to
save your voice? Yeah, so we are doing Sirens Guess the Hop. So they released, for anyone that doesn't know, hold it up here for you. For anyone that doesn't know, Siren did a Guess the Hop series where they brewed the same exact recipe for their beer. It was a DDH IPA, and they did the same exact recipe, but what they dry hopped with was each beer was dry hopped with a different hop. So the only thing that you're getting different flavor-wise is coming from that hop. There's nothing else sort of like distracting or added to take away from that. So they're running a competition. We'll put the notes in there in case it's still going on by the time this goes up. I think it will have ended by the time it goes out. But you'll at least be able, we can link you to it so you can at least see what it was. And we thought we would try to guess hops. Well, that was originally what we thought we'd do. We thought we would originally try to guess the hops. I worked at Siren's birthday. I know what all the hops are.
Do you know all of them then?
I know all the hops. Okay. I will tell you what the third one was when we are not recording, because I think they must have just changed the lines over when we tried it at the tap field the first time we tried to guess, because it is very different. It'll be really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be really. And now that I know what it is as well, I was like, that checks out, but that is definitely not the. It made sense with the conversation we had at the time. Yeah. It made sense with our confusion. and it makes sense with the flavors that I got when I had it again at the birthday. When I 100% found out all of them. It actually, we can talk about this later, but it actually gave me a lot of confidence in myself. I was like, literally like, look at me, I got it. But we're not going to give it away. There's no spoiler. Like, I don't want to give away any spoilers. We've chosen, that was originally the plan for this episode. We have chosen to pivot, and instead we're going to talk about just how to taste hops, really, like how you do a tasting to look for different hops and like what you're getting out of like hops. So we thought we'd pivot today. So yeah, I guess to start things before we crack open number one, I thought what we could start with was kind of talk about how we go about doing that. And I think really for me, I tend to, if I do like a single hop beer, I would tend to sort of like do the normal tasting techniques. But if you've got a situation like this where I've had it before where you don't know what the hops are, because we've talked about before how we've got various cans that they'll just be like, oh, it's a hop blend, and you don't really know what's in it. I tend to approach, I'd be interested to see how you do it, but from my non-educated perspective, how I kind of do is I do the normal tasting techniques, but then I'll use Google. I'm guilty as charged of just using Google to be like, what hops actually taste like this particular note, or I start looking into it. Other than that, I think I pretty much implore the main tasting techniques of the getting the aroma in, less so about the visuals, but more getting the aroma in and then tasting it and being like, what do I get from it? And then letting it kind of develop over a period of time. Like, is that, I mean, how do you approach it? More or less the same? Or
I mean, the thing with trying to pick out one hop, like, it's fine if it is noted that it is a single hopped beer. If it's, you know, several hops together, there are lots of factors that are going to change what you're smelling, what you're tasting. When were the hops added? How were the hops added? What two hops are together? What malt is in there that could be changing the flavour? What yeast is in there that could be changing the flavour? Like, you get fruity flavours from yeast. Like,
yeah, you do. Go listen. Go, like, listen to that Holy Goat episode.
Yeah, go listen to the Holy Goat episode where we talk about that. Like, it can be very, very difficult. Like, when I was teaching my beer tasting courses, one of the things that people would always be like, is like, I want to be able to identify the hops. I want to be able to identify individual hops. It's a very difficult thing to do. Like, you can guess at it if it isn't written on the can. And there'll be hops that you personally will know that you pick up in a certain way. Like, I've always said, I know it's probably got, yeah, something's got mosaic in it because it smells like broccoli. You know, like, there will be things that you will develop an understanding of as being that particular hop for you. But you've got to do, like, you've got to do a little bit of training to your palate to be able to do that. And single hop beers are the way to do that. But again, even then, like, was it added at the beginning of the boil? Was it added at the end? Was it dry hopped? You know, how, like, sometimes you can add hops in during the mash. Like, there are lots of different ways that it can be added, and that will also affect the flavours. So, I mean, we know that these ones are double dry hopped, but, you know, they'll have added hops elsewhere during the brew, like, that won't be the only place I wouldn't have thought that they'd have added hops. So, you know, that also changes things.
Well, I guess that's, I mean, to be fair, that's the question. Like, did they add it elsewhere? Because they would have, literally, the recipe is all exactly the same. So what would be interesting? Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to do it, is like the same recipe and three different single hops, because it really helps to drive the point home of like what you're getting from that single hop. And I actually really like the way that they've done it as a mystery of guess the hop, because it almost takes away that bias of like, I recognize this to be in that way. So like, if somebody said to you there's mosaic, you might be like, I am looking for that broccoli, I'm looking for that. Whereas like, if you don't know what it is, it almost kind of removes that unconscious bias that's even there already, and you're going in completely blind to it. And I think that is brilliant. I wish, like, obviously I think competition wise it's a bit they kind of can't tell you until the competition's over, but like, I would love to see more breweries doing this type of, I guess, experience. I think when we did the Yonder mystery beers, we were talking about a brewery that did actually, I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, but they actually did do like the mystery beers overall in terms of like style and everything. And then there was like a QR code that once you've had the beer, you could put your, like, you could make your guess, but then it wasn't a competition. It was literally just, okay, now go and validate if what you've said is right, like, instantly. And I actually really quite like that, because I think you can sort of like have half the bit. Like, I wish more breweries would employ that kind of tactic of like mystery beers, maybe mystery hops, similar way. You are having your guesses, and then on the spot, you can go and validate that. And then when it tells you what the right answer is, you can go and look for like those flavors that you should be getting to see if you are getting that. Whereas obviously, like, this would, the best way to do it is you try them, you make your guesses, like you go down to the tap yard, you try them on tap, you make your guesses, and then you buy the cans to take home and you try guessing them yourself at home. Like, or you when you get the answers, you go back through and you go, okay, actually, do I get this right? And yeah, I think it's a really good idea, that, to be fair.
I like it as an experience. I wouldn't want to do it a lot because it gives me anxiety. Like,
why does it give you anxiety? Like, let's probe into that.
I feel like I put pressure on myself to make sure that I get it right.
See, I actually think there's less pressure in the situation of, like, through the lack of competition. I think, like, if it wasn't a competition and they were doing what that other brewery does, where it's like you can take them home, you can do it, like, you could easily do that by yourself. And then I guess the only pressure that's being put on it is the pressure you're putting on yourself. But then that it is a bit different for you, though, because obviously you do the education stuff. But exactly. That's like a personal element. Like, you shouldn't put that pressure on yourself, because almost it doesn't matter how experienced you are and what, you know, certifications you have. Like, sometimes it's okay to just translate these things in a different way. So don't put
When it's a complete mystery, you have no idea what the style is, nothing, like, it's really difficult, like, because your brain will start making connections, as brains do, and then, like, you know, you're all the way over here and actually it's that style over there.
It is indeed. Shall we crack the first one before we actually talk about the proper ways to taste hops? Let's just get in there and try. Like I said, I don't want to give any spoilers away, so I actually got to work on the bar that was doing this at the beer festival. Oh, yeah. It was great. It was really, what I really loved, I'll talk about it more in a bit, is like getting to talk to people that never had really dealt with, like, trying to work out what a hop was, okay, or like doing tasting. And it was like, that for me felt like really empowering, getting to have those conversations. But I'll save that for when we talk about the different aids that you can use and stuff like that and how you go about doing stuff. So
I think it's interesting having had it
on keg.
I think it's interesting having had it on keg and now having it in can.
Mm. Oh, it's really hard because it's like I wanna say what I'm thinking, but then I'm also like, if I say something, is that gonna give something away that it shouldn't? But then the episode's gonna come out after these are all done, isn't it? So I feel like I can say what I need to.
I think the aroma from this can version is a lot brighter than when we had it on keg.
I feel like when we had this on keg the first time, I had a very similar smell and I was literally like, I feel like I know. Okay.
Like, I got,
listen to this if you want to actually guess. Like, I'm going to caveat. Yeah. Don't listen to this if you want to actually guess with no potential. We're going to try our best not to actually say what the hops are. This is coming out after the competition's over, so you're definitely, unlike Yondu, you're definitely not going to win by listening to this episode. I think the competition's over by the time this comes out, but we won't say anything. Don't listen if you want to try guessing. I'll wait till after you've done it yourself, because I don't want to be the element of, I don't want us to persuade you. But when we had it on tap, I smelled it and it smelled similar to this. And I was like, from the aroma, I feel like I know what this is, but I feel like that is too on the nose and there's no, and like, there's no way that that's what they would do. And so I kind of let it go. Then I tasted it and I went, this tastes exactly like this particular one. But again, I feel like it's too obvious and it's too on the nose and there's no way that they would use this hop because that's just too easy. That's too easy. And then I found out what it was. And I was right. And I was very pleased with myself.
That
and
was especially a very because, long-winded
because
thing
you were her. Because yeah, you were wrong. And I was like, I did it, which is fine. That's fine. It's okay to be wrong. But it actually was very validating for me. It made me feel really good. Not good that you were wrong, but good in the
glad you're my beer bestie.
It made me feel good in the sense that it felt really empowering to me that I was like, oh, maybe I do know something. Like, that was great. It smells like citrus.
So, like, yes, I think it's got a very bright grapefruit aroma. I feel like when I don't keg it, it was more vegetal. But when I'm tasting it, it tastes the same as I remember it tasting.
To me, it smelled the same. And it tastes the same as I remember it tasting. And I think the thing is, I guess you might, obviously from your viewpoint as well, of doing all the beer tasting for what you have to do anyways, on top of doing it for judging, on top of everything, like you're probably going in already with this pressure of like, what am I looking for? Like, what is it that, like, let me pinpoint what I'm looking for. And so you might almost be over, in the same way that I overthought Yonder,
yeah,
even though I'm fairly certain I did get them right at the end, but you overthink it completely and you just go shit, and then you start seeing things that aren't there or going, oh yeah, it could be this taste or very close to that taste. So I totally get that. Right,
the thing with this one is when I tasted it, and when I tasted it again this time, I get like a bit of a savory note, which really threw me off.
Savory and what, like, so to say, because my view of when someone says savory, I might think of something different. So like when you say savory, like try to explain what you mean for people who might be going savory note in a beer.
I mean, it varies on the beer, but this one I feel like I'm really getting the malt. I'd be interested to know what the malt bill was. And I'm almost getting like a bit of a like oniony garlic note.
Interesting. Now I'm going back for it to be like, I love garlic, so I'm going back in like, am I getting oniony garlic? I would love that. Do you know they do make garlic beer? So
yes.
Isn't it Isle of Wight or something that has like a garlic farm, and they make garlic beer? And I'm a bit like, don't really want to try it, but also really love garlic. I would try it, but I'd buy like one bottle.
I think they're doing quite big bottles as well.
It's aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I don't get oniony garlic. I feel like I could get onion at a push, not garlic. But I think I do. It feels more bitter. The can feels more bitter to me than the tap version felt. And I don't know if maybe as well, like, the can's obviously not as cold as the serving temperature that I had on keg all the times I've had it. So maybe that's kind of made a difference there as well. But yeah. Hmm. In terms of the proper way that you would go about, like, so if you were trying to work out hop tasting in a work capacity or in a beer school capacity or whatever, like, what would be like the proper way that you'd go about sort of identifying it? Is it just the standard tasting?
Yeah. That's the best way to taste beer. Like, you need to do the aroma, you need to do a taste of it. Like, if you really want to learn the flavours of hops, I think you need to, like in beer, I think you need to go get some single hop beers, drink them, write down what you get as aromas, what you get as taste, then go look up what attributes are given to that hop and see how it compares. So I've got a little notebook on my phone, like, and I've got where I've drunk single hop beers, and then I've kept those notes. So I've got, you know, this hop, these are the aromas I picked up, these are the flavours that I picked up, this is what I've then researched what it should be, and then how do I, like, have I equated those things correctly, or, you know, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting citrus, but it's grapefruit, you know, like, so you can kind of see how the connections your brain is making. But you got to do it with single hop beers. You can't do it with ones that are mixed up. And you, like, you need to know what hop is in the beer to begin with for you to be able to work that out.
Do you reckon you'd go in, like, would the approach that you would take or recommend to somebody else be look at that hop, like, if you know it's a single hop beer, like, you obviously you have to know it's a single hop beer, but would you go in being like, oh yeah, like, know what that hop is, or would you just go, actually, just know that it's single hop, don't look too much at it or into it, get what you get and then go back to it? Or do you think, like, because I think for my approach, I'd want to do it that way, because I'd want to be like, I'm going to, obviously it's really difficult because certain hops I kind of know what I'm expecting, so that already is a challenge, which is exactly why I love this, because I'm going in with kind of no preconceived notions of what it is. But is there any damage to somebody knowing from the start, oh, this is what it is, and doing research into it before they start tasting it?
I mean, yeah, because your brain is suggestive. So if you read a post that says, you know, this hop tastes like lavender, you're going to go in and be like, oh, yeah, tastes like lavender. Might not do. You might not read the, you know, you might have read somebody else's description of it. Like, you also need to make sure that when you're looking up hops, you're getting your information from, like, a reputable source. And I would often look at, like, a couple of different sources to see if there was, like, an overlap, and check that. Check the information, because as well, like, I had an interesting conversation with a Australian hop company compared to a German hop company, because you can look at hop flavors and aromas from, like, a sensory and a very scientific background, and how, you know, and how it comes out of the raw hop before you've even put it in anything. And then you can look at how it comes out when it's put in beer. And as I've said, there's lots of different factors that change what that will be like in beer as opposed to the hop itself. So sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect between those two things, because, you know, that delicate thing that you're getting off of the raw hop might be, you know, they're volatile compounds. They can be blown off by the boil, or it's so delicate that you only get it right as soon as you open the can, or, you know, other things are masking it. So there is a little bit of a difference. Again, everyone's senses are different, so you pick up different things.
So at the birthday for Siren, like I said, I was on the immersive bar, that the interactive bar is what it was called, where it was literally, I guess, they had hot water as well. Sorry, slight tangent.
Okay.
They had hot water, which I didn't realize that they were doing, but they had a Citra hot water on in the morning, and an Idaho 7 hot water on in the evening. Tried them both. Thumbs up. I actually really liked them. They smelt very hoppy. Like, it smelt like hops. Like, that's the only way I could describe them. Not even necessarily, like, the characteristics of said hops.
Yeah.
But just, like, the, like, literally, like, hop matter. Like, it was really interesting. And so I was immediately like, oh, how is this going to taste as well? I don't know. Really quite drinkable, and I my feedback was, I don't normally drink or enjoy hot water, but if this was on offer so what they had done was actually quite smart. They'd offered it free. Everyone could self-serve out of keg, like, free the whole time, and just basically just give some feedback in a survey, and you could win something if you gave your feedback and they pulled your name out or whatever. And yeah, it was quite enjoyable. And I think it was because it wasn't so carbonated that it was, like, aggressive. But it was, like, the perfect bar to have that on, because it was, like, you knew what you were getting. You were trying to get these flavors out of the hop. Like, you were trying to analyze that. And that paired really well with the guest, the hop. And then we also had Maiden on our bit. Like, like, guess the hop, and then they were like, and then Maiden and Sunset Oregon Trail and a goes from North, I think it was. But it was just really, amazing. Really funny, like, just the way that those three things, because they tried to put a birthday beer on each bar, and we got Maiden, and I was like, well, I mean, I'm not complaining, because this is great. I don't have to go anywhere to try it, it's in front of me. But it was just really funny. But the hop water element of it was, like, really interesting, because that was, like, obviously you knew the hop there, and you could try working out what you could get out of that hop, and then, like, using that to kind of go about guessing some of the other hops was, like, really interesting as well. But yeah, I mean for all the times I've talked shit about hop water, this was actually enjoyable. But again, I still feel like I wouldn't go out and pay a lot of money for it if it was at the tap yard and I was like, I'm quite thirsty, I want a drink, and that's what was available. I'd be like, yeah, right. Or it was like really cheap, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll have that. That's cool. But yeah, that, I thought that was and what they did is on that bar, they then quite quickly into the session took out hot pellets for they had blind, you know, here's A, here's B, here's C, so that way people could go and, you know, take the pellets and do like a rubbing and all that. It was really cool getting to like sort of show people how to do that, because there were people that, so as I mentioned at the beginning,
did
of
someone
try
and eat the pellets?
No, somebody did eat the it's pretty
there's
great
always one.
No,
there's
no,
always one.
It was not a person that was, it was somebody that was working. Someone told them to eat a pellet and he was like, all right, and he ate it. And I was like, oh, that was a bold move.
Just one's not too bad.
And he went, oh, it's not that bad, actually. And I was like, that was a bold move that you just went straight in with. And I respect that. Someone said you should do that. You did it. I respect that. I wouldn't do that, but nice. But I mean, as I alluded to at the beginning, like I was explaining to people kind of what to look out for and how to do things, and it was really cool because there was a lady that I don't know who she was with, but she came up on her own to the bar and she wanted to get one and she wanted to do a Guess the Hop, and she was like, oh, get some of this, and obviously the samples were out, so she started kind of like looking at that and she was smelling the whole thing. She's like, oh, that's cool. She's like, oh, I'm not really gonna guess though because I don't really know anything about it. And I said, well, what do you have to lose? I was like, you put a guess in, you're wrong, you haven't lost anything. And she goes, yeah, but I don't really know anything about hops. And I went, well, you know, my approach to this, if I were in your position, is I would take in everything I'm smelling and tasting from the hop. I'd make notes. And I said, and don't be fooled by the first few. Let it marinate over the whole time you're drinking it, and just keep making those notes because it might change over time, and that's also okay. And I was like, take it all in and then go to Google and start saying what hops taste like this or smell like this and pull it up and then look it out. And I was like, and at the end of it, you try all three, you put a guess in, you're wrong, you are no different than if you didn't try it at all, but actually you might have had a little bit extra fun. And she was like, yeah, that's really true. And I was showing her how to sort of like break up the pellets and stuff. And I did it to like a couple as well. I was saying to them, like, oh, do that. I was like, I personally wouldn't try to smell the whole cup. I'd break down one. I said, that's too much sensory overload for me of a whole cup full. I was like, I would just the one and I would do that. And that was really cool getting to like share that knowledge with people. And and so many people were like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I will do that, actually. And there was a lot of people that I don't think were going to try to guess the hop, that at the end of it, because I said to them, what are you going to lose? If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. And like, no one even knows you got it wrong. Like, yeah. That is it. It was really cool getting to do that.
And also, having it in your hand, the heat of your hand warms up the oils. So you actually get better sensory of that than just smelling it from a cup.
It was cool that they put the hops out, and people would come up and they'd be like, are those actually like the real, like these are the real hops? And I was like, yes, they're the real hops that align with that. And they were like, they're the right ones. Like, yes, I'm guessing they're the right ones. Like, I was like, the brewer, the head brewer has come up and put them there. If he's got it wrong, I'm not going to be the one to tell him that. So I'm going to assume they're right. But yeah, that was like, do you have any techniques for if somebody was like, if they have access to hops, say they know someone that's a homebrew or whatever, and they really want to dive into like how to go about that, like how would you suggest somebody go about that?
Like rubbing and sniffing hops?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different techniques. And it depends on what you got. Like if you got a whole cone, that's going to be different from a pellet. Like with a pellet, a whole cone, you can rub them between your hands, and that just like that heat and that friction will just release some of the aroma volatiles from the hop. It's good to do it between your hands because you get that heat and that friction, but also your hands are going to get green. Like you are just going to end up with sticky hands because there's resin and, you know, and oils inside those hops. If you've got a cone, I got taught the Japanese method last time I was in the Hallertau, where you break the cone open and you rub the two parts together and then smell it, because then that's it's you're getting that friction, which creates the heat that then releases the aroma, but you're not getting it all over your hands.
I appreciate and respect Japanese efficiencies.
Yeah, right.
very orderly, very...
Don't get dirty hands.
Love it.
Yeah.
I respect that.
But you can't do that with a pellet.
Can you imagine?
Because once you start breaking a pellet, it literally just disintegrates into
absolutely
stuff.
Crumbles. Yeah. I would love to watch some of you. That would be a really fun thing to tell someone that does it.
And they're too like, small. Like, they're
if
too
you
small.
Tell if you tell a friend, not a stranger that's actually trying to learn, you just tell a friend like, well, yeah, and I hear if you just rub them together that it it will give you that friction you need.
It's going to make a mess, I can tell you that. another way that we do it at work is you can get a mortar and pestle on the pellets. I mean, you can do it on cone as well, but it's particularly good if you're doing it with pellets because you can grind it up. Then you're getting that same friction. It's in the mortar and pestle. It's not all over your hands. If you're doing lots of samples, you do need to like wash your hands in between. And when I've done like selection and I've been around lots of samples, you kind of need something like a little bit abrasive as well. Like the kind of thing that like mechanics use to clean grease off their hands. You need something like that to really like get rid of the sticky oils and resins that are on your hand.
I've got some of that. It's orange.
Yeah, I know you've got some. You've got some of your bathroom, which is what made me think of it.
Did you go in and you were like, "Oh God, flashbacks to hop tasting"?
Unscented soap if you can, because obviously if you've then got scented soap, that's going to affect your senses. And like if you're doing a lot of samples, you can go nose blind.
So well, that was going to be the question, because I did have this conversation with somebody. So I guess firstly, to validate, like, am I right in my thinking? Am I right or wildly off in my thinking of like when they were smelling the whole cup? I was like, no, I wouldn't do that. That's quite a lot. Or, like for me, I was like, that would be too overpowering for me. Like, I felt like I was like, that is too much.
But I mean, you can stick your nose in the bag. Like, when you open a bag, have a good sniff inside the bag when you open up a bag of hops. Like,
fair. It was then that they basically then were going, oh, so they were going back between A, B, and C. And they were like, oh, this just smells the same as this to me now. And I was like, oh, yeah, you've probably got nose blind. Yeah. She's like, I feel like I need some, like, coffee beans or something. And I was like, yeah, probably. Is there something like when you're doing a tasting and you're like, I've tasted too many, I'd like to cleanse in between, like have a cracker or something. Is there like a similar of when you're doing like smelling of hops that you're like, I would go to coffee or?
I would smell, you can smell the inside of your elbow. That resets.
What if you've got like body spray on or something?
I mean,
like, does it still work?
If you know that you were going to go either be tasting beer or you're smelling hops, so you want to do that. Don't be spraying yourself with loads of body spray or cologne or anything like that. That's like,
you don't know my life. I don't know where I'm going to end up. The night takes me where the night takes me.
Well, that's your own lookout. But like when I've done selection, they actually have like an area off to one side where you can go and like have something to eat. Have something to drink, kind of just let your senses reset and then go back in.
I'm picturing like a deprivation chamber. They're like, you go in this deprivation chamber.
Right, so let me describe. So this is, so in Yakima in September last year, we went over and we did hop selection. And it's in like a big kind of warehouse, kind of looks a bit like, you know, like an airplane hangar type thing. And they've got like metal rooms where you go in and you, They've got a table and they've got all the samples laid out and then like they're all labelled and you have a piece of paper and you write down what you're smelling and which ones you think are the best ones. Those rooms shut off because then, like, I mean, we had like 14 mosaic samples to get through. But that's a lot, right?
How do you even smell the difference?
You then need to, you can tell the difference, but you have to keep like, after a little while you have to go, no, they're still smelling the same. I need to go and take a break. But then between when they cleared off that sample and put the next hop on, they had extractor fans to get rid of whatever was left from the aromas of those. so you had the next one. But then they had like a little marquee and some fridges and some snacks and some games and some chairs. And you could just go and like, you'd sit and like have a drink, like just like, you know, have some snacks, like just kind of like, you know, decompress for a minute. You can go and wash your hands, make sure you're nice and clean. Then you can go back in and start again. And it was like, it took as long as it took, because if you got loads of samples, you can't rush through it.
No.
Because you've got to, like, you know, you've got to take those breaks, because otherwise it's all going to just smell the same. So it's an interesting process. It's quite intense. It's kind of like beer judging can be quite intense as well, because like you're trying to get it right. Like, you know, when you're just like picking up a hop and being like, oh, what does this smell like? That's fun. When it's work, or you're trying to pick the best thing for your beer, it's a bit more intense. Like, you've got a bit more skin in the game, right?
Or especially if it's a competition, like you're doing it on behalf of somebody else, and you don't want to like how pissed off would you be if you've entered a competition and somebody was just like, and that's something, okay, next, and something like, and you were just unfairly judged because someone didn't want to take the time, or like you said for your to produce your beer, you're like, I could try to get the best one, or I could just blindly be like, and that one's the best, let's go with
and
that.
As well, all of the, like, so the samples come from different bales of hops that come from different farms, so as well, like, those farmers have produced these hops, you want to make sure that you're picking the best one and you're not doing like an injustice to those farmers who have tried to produce excellent ingredients for you.
That's got to be, I feel like that would make me feel more stressed than anything. Like, these guests of beers are nothing.
I quite enjoyed it.
That would be more stressing for me intense. Because I'd be like, I feel like I'm not doing them justice by... Like, what if I've got it, like, I'm like, this one's the best. Everyone's like, this one's the best. I was like, no, you're right. That one's the best one. Like,
We did it as a, like, our scores were averaged out. So it was a collective group effort.
I think that's, I still think that would be way more stressful than guessing the hop. I'm like, if I guess the hop wrong, whatever, that's me. Like, if I feel like I'm doing someone an injustice, I'm like, oh God, this is too much. That sounds like a really fun once in a lifetime experience for some people. Like, I could never imagine getting the chance to do that. That seems like really, really cool and really special. So I think.
And then people got really excited because Treehouse were doing their selection in the room next to us.
Of course they were. Absolutely, of course. For people like, ooh, to sneak in their room.
Like, well, I mean, their van was out in the car park. So they've got a big black van with it that's matte black, and then it's got a gloss Treehouse tree on it. They drove.
Funny, that I was going to say, like, they would have had to have driven that. That
to the West Coast.
Like days to drive out. That'd be so expensive. That's just so extra. As opposed to just flying, that is the most extra thing that people can do.
They were going to take it to Australia when they went to do the selection over there, but they decided it was too expensive.
They should just buy a van over there and just paint the treehouse, like, just get a stencil.
But they only go over like once a year to get the hops.
Yeah, well, they could buy a van over there, park it at a brewery, stencil the van, then every once a year they go over, they've got that van. It doesn't matter how crap it is. Oh my goodness, that is so extra. I love Treehouse, peace and love. But that is so extra. You're like, I got it. I know the answer to asking for, you know, playing the fool. If somebody was like doing a hop rubbing and like they were smelling it and everything, and then going back to the beer. So there's beer number one. Somebody's at my stand getting the beer. They've picked up some of the hops. They're smelling the hops. They're, you know, all of that. And then they go back to that glass. Like, would you expect that smell to be as comparable to what they're actually getting out of that hop, or are there certain, like, is there a variation depending on the hop or depending on sort of different elements about it?
I mean, there's variations between hops year on year because they're a plant, they're an agricultural thing, so they're going to change. Like, the weather changes, how intense the oils or resins or alpha acids are in it. You know, sometimes they grow smaller, sometimes they're bigger, sometimes the percentages in them are more. Like there are certain years that were better for different hops than others. And we talked about before about terroir and how where it's grown makes a difference as well. Like, so yeah, there's a lot of difference. I mean, generally, if you've got kind of a base of these are the flavours and aromas that this hop should present as, you should be able to pick that up. But yeah, there are many factors. It's a very vague answer, but that's how it is, I'm afraid.
Shall we move on to the second one? Are we going to talk about different ways of looking at the hops and all that?
Hop information.
Yeah, hop information. That's the word. My mind was like, what's the word I want? Hop information.
Right, guess a hop beer, B.
It was really funny of people being like, could I get IPA A, please? And IPA B. I was like, yeah. They're like, what's the name of that one? It's just A, B, C. No. Oh, spit at me. That was great. I love that. A very crisp opening. I can't wait till the third one to just see how you react to the third one, because obviously I think you know what one and two are, but you don't know what three is. And it was really interesting to see how you react to three compared to how it was in the tap room, because of the fact that I think it was quite different. See, to me, this smells different than it did on tap. A little bit. Not a massive amount, but a little bit. This one smells more vegetal to me than it did on tap.
Yeah, well, it smelled vegetal to me in the first place. I think with these, I'm picking up a lot of the malt, and I don't know why. It's really weird.
I really appreciate that with your day job. You're like, I just am getting the malt.
I just don't get it. And this one smells like biscuits.
My favorite memory of this as well is, I feel like I've got to celebrate the small wins for me, I'm sorry, was when we were arguing over where in the world we thought this was from. Yeah. And you were like, no, I'm adamant here. And I was like, I am adamant it is from this other country. Like, I am adamant about it. And then when we found out again, I was like, again, not to celebrate your losses, because I want to celebrate your wins as well. I always celebrate your wins. And I don't think it's wrong to have the losses, but it did make me feel like that's when I think the second one more than the first one was when I was like, maybe I am learning things. It's like, maybe you can teach an old dog new tricks. This is great. Again, I don't want to talk about what I'm smelling and tasting in case somebody does buy them and want to play along, and I don't want to influence anybody.
I think
there's less dryness in that, because I feel like I can say this because this isn't really given away that much. There was more dryness when I had it on tap than what I'm having it out of the can. And I would say the smell for me is more vegetal than when it was on tap. Like, I got more dryness towards the back end and aftertaste when I had it on tap, which is what led me to think down the path I was thinking down when we had it. And I feel like that's vague enough that's not going to give it away for anybody.
I think I am getting a little bit more of the hop aroma, but I wonder if that's just because I know what hop is, so I'm looking for those elements now.
In the taste, I'm definitely... I don't smell that at all. Maybe your nose has just given up on hop aspect. Like, you're like, no, it's too much.
When I had it at the tap room, it smelled and tasted like cereal as well. I remember that because that's why I was so thrown with what hop it was. Because I was like, this is really
didn't get any of that. I didn't get any of that. I still don't get any of that. And I don't want to say what I do get, because I'm afraid if I say what I do get, that will be a dead giveaway for the people that are playing along. So I can't really say that aspect of it. There is still a little bit of dryness, like, towards the back end, but this is definitely not as much as I was getting on cake. It's still enjoy it, still nice. But yeah, I find it really interesting that the hops just kind of fall to the wayside in these for you. That's really, really interesting to me.
It's really weird.
Maybe, like I said, maybe your brain is just like, I'm so done with hop stuff. I've got doing enough for work. Possible. Immediately no.
We're not playing that game.
If it was like an Instagram reel, your brain would be going like, brother, no.
No, ma'am. Yeah, I really struggled with these to pick out the hot rumours. It's really weird.
Well, it was an ego boost for me. That's all I can say. And I felt really good at the end of it. And I felt doubly good again when I got confirmed the answer of all of them at the festival. I was like, I'm reliving my glory days. These are my glory days. That was that like okay. One window was my glory days. So just like, let me have the dub for once. Because I'm like, I never have the dub. This is my dub for once.
Yeah.
And I was happy with it. And I was like, oh. The glory days of about a few weeks ago when I got them right. I was like, oh, that was great. And it's short-lived, but I'm still reliving my prime. My prime of a few weeks back. Right, talking about our tooling. Let's talk through the tooling. I'm going to let you talk about that because I don't. The tooling. I'm going to call it tooling. Tooling. Like my tools.
Okay.
Got my tools at the ready.
The tools that we're going to use.
I've got my tools.
Okay.
My tooling.
I got mine too. Right, so we are holding up, for those that are not watching the video, a hop sensory wheel. So this one's got different flavours and aromas around it. And then you can see which hops come under that. So that there's a section that's citrus. So hops that come under citrus, aromas and flavours. Simcoe, Sriracha Ace, Comet, Casbeck, Bobek, Mandarin of Bavaria, Cascade, Sladek, Chinook, Mount Hood. Oh, my one. These also, bearing in mind, and I was thinking about this, because I've also got some books that you might want to use for looking up hops as well.
I've got one hop atlas that you got me, but I've not actually looked at it.
As soon as these are printed, they're probably going out of date. Like,
still counts, though.
You know, new hops are being developed all the time. More sensory is done. Like, so bear in mind, you need to think about the age of any printed materials that you have.
I do appreciate that this also sort of teaches you German, though.
Yeah, it's got. Have you got the German one?
I mean, it's got both, so I know exactly what it means.
Oh, yeah.
So I can say citrus, zitrus.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to say sweet fruits. That is way too common. Or green fruits. Berries and currant. Beeren. Look, I've got it. This is great.
So as well as like one that kind of tells you which kind of flavours the hops can sit under, Mark Dredge does a hop flavour wheel, which I've got here. He has ones, like he's got chunks. So there's a herbal and woody chunk, and then he breaks that down into more specific flavours. Like, so under herbal and woody, you've got tobacco, black tea, green tea, earth soil. Under citrus, lemon, lime, orange, bergamot, pomelo, etc. So that's quite good for, like,
I like that.
Developing the vocabulary that you use to decide, you know, what you're talking about. He's also, on the other side of the one that I've got, there is also hop varietal wheel. So it's got the variety and then three words for each one. So let's find a very famous one. Citra, citrus, mango, and melon. And he's also got quite helpfully the area of the world that the hops are from.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so that's useful. So...
we get into our great debate of where the hops are from. I can be like, I think it's this one. Look at these notes.
Yeah.
That is, I quite like that it's broken down like that. Because like, I think this is really good, like the hop wheel that we've got here that's got sort of the different varieties over the overall notes is like really helpful, but I think it's more so helpful if you know a little bit more about something, like if you're a person that has a more built out vocabulary, you don't say, let me get my tooling out and whip out a hop wheel. But I think that's like, it's good, but the Mark Dredgen obviously is really helpful. Like you said, if you're trying to build out that vocab.
Yeah. like obviously this the wheel that we've got that's got the hop zest flavors on it, this one is aimed at brewers.
Yeah.
So it's like you want, you know, you want a herbal note in your beer. These are the hops that are going to do that for you. Whereas Mark Dredge's one can be a bit more consumer focused, how you want to describe it.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to go, yeah, this is for brewers, because this was given at, to be fair, this is not contraband. I got it at Indie Beer Feast. Yeah. And that's why I had to do some surgery and tape it up a bit, because it just got shoved in my bag. And yeah. Then I was like, I went to go pull it out for this episode. And I was like, my wheel, she is broken. But I fixed her and it's fine. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I was like, I don't want to say that. And then you're like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But also, Hopzest is a course that you can take. So if you're very interested in learning more about hop flavours, there are courses that you can take.
Google it, people.
Yeah. So I was talking about books. I have this one. It's called The Hops List by Julian Healy. Let's see. This was published in 2016, so it's probably out of date. So you want to, like, see, I think there's an updated version. But it has all the different hops in alphabetical order. It gives you a little bit of a description about them and their history. But then it goes into, like, real detail. Like, it will tell you their alpha acid and beta acid composition. If you're trying to learn,
that's so,
like,
science.
Right. So there's a lot of, you know, chemistry about it. Like the myrcene oils and the humulin oils content and things like that. That's less useful if you're trying to work out flavours and aromas. It's more useful if you're, you know, brewing. But it does have some descriptions of them in there. I've then also got The Hops Companion from Haas. And that has each of the hops, again, in alphabetical order. I thought they were in... I thought they might be in country. No. Right, so for example, Kashmir here tells you a little brief bit about the history of it, and then it's got symbols. So this one comes under citrus, sweet fruits, and herbal, and then it gives a description of it as being lemon, lime, ripe melon, stone fruit, and thyme.
Oh, I like that.
So that's useful. And then it also has the alpha acid content, the beta acid content, mesine, humulin, linalool, all those fun things. I picked this
chuckle
up in the US, so you're probably not going to find it. But that information is available on the internet.
That makes me chuckle that, like, the way it's like some of those scientific words that you just said. I can only liken it to, I was up in another office. We've got three, my work has three offices. And there's a new place that just opened up restaurant-wise that I was very excited to go to. Like, I really like it. When I go to this particular office, I always go to this restaurant. But it is like it's a Korean restaurant, so it's got like a Korean name. And we were saying to one of the guys, we were trying to say, like, oh, the name of the place is called the name of the place, and he literally couldn't, because the way the name just rolls off the tongue, he was like, I couldn't process it. He's like, I didn't even know you just said words. I couldn't work out what the letters were that you were saying.
I got two hops scientific.
It was when you got, so I love the nerdy stuff, but then you were like, and then there's these acids and this acid, and I was like, are those words?
Yes, they are.
The rest of it, love it. Love all of it, but I just don't think I'm intelligent enough for the hop science club.
So you can also find
cheat sheet
product guides. And they will have lists of hops, and they have different information about the characters. So, Cascade, deeper citrus. Oh, this is German Cascade.
Oh.
Deeper citrus than US version. Limoncello, passion fruit, raspberry. Great for pales. So it gives you.
Oh, I like that.
Tells you
that's quite good if you're a home brewer, because you might be like, I want to try something new outside of what I normally would try, or I want to maybe try replacing. Like, maybe there's a recipe, you're a home brewer, and there's a recipe that you're like, oh, you're newer to home brewing, and they're like, oh, you need to use this. And you're like, well, that's quite expensive or difficult to get or whatever. And you might be like, what could I replace that? Like, what is good in this style? And you could maybe try to look and see what you could replace it with.
So going back to the hops list, that's the reason that I bought this book, because under each one, it then says can be substituted with, and it tells you what other hops you can substitute it for if you can't get that hop. So I thought that was quite useful. Equally, if you can't get your hands on any of this, you can just go on Google and do like Citra hops characteristics, and it'll bring up stuff.
Or I'll just Google what does Citra hops taste like.
Yeah.
Or like characteristics of Citra hops. And then I normally go like, which one seems the most reputable?
Again, make sure that you're getting like reputable websites. Bath Haas, Charles Farram, Yakima Chief will all have information about all the different hop varieties on their websites. For English hops, there's the British Hop Association where you can find information. So you can find all of that information quite easily online.
Is there an app? So I just went to go Google, do you know of any phone apps? Because obviously we had like the BJCP phone app for like the style guidelines. Have you seen, because I feel like I remember in passing that there was an app, but I went to go look for it and it was really funny. So I'm just going to share a little aside. So Hop Culture's posted like the best phone apps for drinking beer or whatever. And I was thinking maybe there's something there just in case. This is from a few years ago. And it's really funny because the five best apps for drinking beer, one of those, it just says Instagram. That made me chuckle. I didn't find any for hops, and the BJCP one came up and a few others, and then it just went Instagram, which made me chuckle. But I'm not sure like if there is any hop phone apps. I think that would be cool if there was like a hop at this or so, like there's some level of hop list that you could.
I've not seen
into.
One. I would say that it'd probably be quite difficult to keep up to date.
But if, could they not, could somebody not do that and do similar to like the style guide, like the BJCP style guidelines, where it's like, this is only updated to a certain point and it will only be updated once every year or something like that.
Then you might as well just Google it and go on the hop seller websites.
True. When you say out of date, so I'm asking this person that genuinely doesn't know now, not a clue. When you say something's out of date, like, is that just because there's more varieties that would come into play? Or is it that because changes in climate or something is actually changing the taste of existing hops?
I would say it's because new varieties are being produced all the time. And also, some varieties are not around anymore.
Oh, God, because, doom and gloom again. Doom and gloom
sorry,
again.
Sorry, Dr. Doom and Gloom is coming out. Sometimes they didn't sell very well. So they got scrapped, or, you know,
I would love to know that though. Like, I would love for there to be like an app where it's like every year it updates, and then they're like, this is the in memoriam for 2023.
And sometimes you can create that app.
If I had more, I've got guys that can do this. I was like, if I could only channel my inner tech, and then I was like, I've got guys that know tech, maybe I can make this a thing. This would be really good, an idea for someone. I gift this to you guys, or if anybody listening knows of any hop apps, please let me know, because I think that would be really, so you said you could Google it, but I actually kind of enjoy just going in and being like, let me just scroll through like the BJCP style guidelines, like I can find what I'm looking for and I know it's a reputable source that's definitely correct.
No, there isn't. That I know of. Someone will probably go, actually, there's this one. I've not seen one.
But there is Instagram, so that's what I've learned from this Google. So there you go.
Another thing as well, of course, sometimes the names change. So if it's, you know, an experimental one and it's out there and it's only a number and then it gets its commercial name, that will change. And like there are hops where they've been given their commercial name and then they changed it because there's been,
like, it didn't sell good under that name. We got a swap.
Well, sometimes they give it a name and then there is like a copyright issue.
Oh.
naming no names, Vic Secret. There was, I can't remember what Peyto is now called, but they used a Native American name.
Oh, okay.
And it was cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
So they changed the name of it.
That is...
Because it was grown in that area.
Fascinating. So that obviously wasn't intentional, but then...
Right.
Yeah.
They named it after the tribe and then it was like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of like those books and those guides, like would they have the experimental name, like before they're given a proper name, are they in there or do they just kind of go, oh, it doesn't get included until it gets its proper commercial name?
I think some of them are. I mean, it can take anything from 9 to 12 years for a hop.
So interesting to me.
To get its name.
The amount of time it takes to develop new hop varieties is just
And actually,
impressive.
Interestingly, this, I've just noticed this has also got blends in it.
Oh, what? Wow.
Yeah. So I've just come across Falconer's Flight, which isn't a single hop. It's a blend of hops. And that's in here as well.
Where do you even get that? Like, is that something you buy? Like, how do you even go with hop? Like, I would just assume you'd blend it.
There is a company that does hop blends. Like the Pink Boots blend.
Well, and so the only blend that I ever had seen that you'd like buy as a that I'd seen that you could buy as a blend was the Pink Boots one. I don't think I realised that there were so many different people that were selling these blends in that way. That's just a whole thing that I never even really knew about. I said I only knew about Pink Boots blend. And that obviously it made sense as to sort of like why they were doing it, what it was about and everything. So I didn't really think about it too much until you've just said now, oh yeah, that's got blends in it. And I was thinking, oh, there's more than just pink. Like, I know there's blends, but I just kind of assume people kind of made it themselves as opposed to a company doing that blending and selling
it. What about Cryopop? That was a blend.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that in that same capacity though, I don't think.
I'm not finding any numbered hops in here. But again, this is the first edition from 2016. So
fair.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's the that's all the tools in our tool belt, I think. All of our tooling.
It is.
Shall we move on to the last one? Because I think it'll be really fun to see you. I'm not gonna give the answer away. But I want you to taste it and give your feedback on it and see what you think and see if you can work out what it is in can form. Because it is, I just want to see the difference when we had it in the tap yard to when you're having it in can.
Okay.
And I just want to see your process of going about it because it's not fair for me. Because I feel like this is actually the only one where one of us can genuinely go through that process of being like, how am I going to identify it? And if people are watching the video, they can watch you in real time trying to identify it. I already know the answer. So it's not for me. It's just
And also
fun
bearing
drinking.
In mind.
You're also
like,
ill.
I'm not an optimum tasting capacity right
it's
now.
It's fine. We know there's caveats in place that when it comes out, you're like, oh, I didn't get that one right. It's fine. No one's going to at you. No one's going to come for you. Yeah.
This is where I get the sack because I can't pick out the hop.
I mean, we're just, you know, I'm two for three. And actually, when you have this one, you'll know why I didn't get the third one. But it's gone to my head. Reliving my 3 weeks glory. All right, let's get Guess the Hop C out.
Beer C.
C. Right. I'm just going to let you do your magic.
Okay. I'm only going to put a little bit in my glass, so I've got room to do some good swirling.
Get those swirls. Well, I am a bit nervous because my can feels a bit mushy. I'm like, oh, I hope that's not a problem. This is so... Okay. Interesting. I'm going to wait for you to say what you need to say. Yeah, I was a bit concerned because my can is a little bit mushy and I was like, I hope that's not a problem.
I'm getting like, I'm getting some citrus. I'm getting some floral. I'm getting some floral. I can't say floral.
Floral. Yeah, I hope you just take, you say, I'm getting some and then I'll go floral.
I'm getting some floral.
Floral. I'm helping.
Came out that time. I'm almost getting some coconut.
So I'm fairly certain that we were asked if we could get coconut. And I was like, nah. So I want to preface as well with this smell is different to...
Yeah.
So this smell that I'm getting in my can is definitely different again to the smell that I got on tap at the birthday compared to when we had it in the tap yard. This is actually closer, for me, this is actually closer to the tap yard smell.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of sun cream.
It's interesting that you say that because I was just going to say, this has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with the actual answer because I was expecting this to smell different. I smelled it because it was different when I had it on tap at the birthday. This smells closer to when we were at the tap room and the smell that it just gets. So I agree that I'm definitely getting sun cream with this. And I think that might, I remember that when we were at the tap yard and we both smelled it, I was getting like minty smells.
Yeah, you were.
I was like, it smells minty. It really smells minty. And I don't know why. I think there's something about that sun cream smell that crosses a really like blurred line with like minty for me. They're very different, but there's like one element that is very, it's that menthol element of it that lands in a quite a similar way to like sun cream for me. And they're very, like, even though they're so different, there is this overlapping element of it that we had at the tap room. I was adamant it smelled like mint. And now I smell it and I go, it smells like sun cream. 100% sun cream.
If I smell sun cream, I think Sabro. But I know it's not Sabro because I know the area of the world that we were told this hop came from. Was that area of the world accurate?
I don't think we were told the area of the world for this one. We were told the area of the world for the second one.
I asked.
Okay, you might have to tell me afterwards because I'm not sure. I don't know if I can validate that.
Oh. I said Sabra out loud. Now I've got that in my head.
I'm saying nothing. And so anyone that's listening, I'm giving no expressions and I'm saying nothing because I wanted to see if she can work it out, see if she can submit her answer. And then I'll tell her afterwards when we're done recording.
I don't know.
I'll tell you and we'll blur it out so we can get your natural reaction to it. But I want you to like lock in an answer before I tell you what the answer is. But yeah, this like genuinely, I feel like, and maybe it was just because like the setting, it just, because we were outdoors and it was when I kind of first got a bit of it as well, it was in like a plastic cup and stuff. And maybe it was just like landing different to how it is in a proper glass indoors in, you know, a slightly different setting, that this is landing more similar to the first time we had it. And it was very different at the birthday. Maybe I just have remembered it differently from the birthday because there was other things going on, other aromas, but it definitely didn't smell this sun cream when we were, when we were outside the other weekend. So, but I have learned how weirdly similar minty menthol is to sun cream. It is bizarre, absolutely bizarre. I never put two and two together. I just had that realization now.
So the sun cream element is making me think of Sabro, but I think this one is supposed to be a European hop, so it's not Sabro.
I don't know if that, if to be fair, I don't know if they did say this was meant to be a European one.
They did to me because I asked and they said yes. So someone's lying.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I'm not giving it away one way or another. I cannot confirm nor deny that because I feel like I didn't hear that myself. So I don't know. So I would say put your bias, try to remove whatever they told you there was and just go, just take in all the elements of it and lock in your answer. And when you're ready to lock in your answer, tell me that you're ready to lock in your, tell me what it is. And then say that you'll lock in your answer. That's also fair to off again.
Yeah. But also, if it's got that kind of herbally, florally,
I still maintain that there's an element of mint in there. I don't know.
That could also be Talus.
There's a tricky one. Siren being a brewery, that was one of the first ones in the UK to get to use Talus. So that would be a fair We had it on this podcast however many years ago now. It's also fair. There can only be one. It's only one hop that they double dry hopped this with.
So my thoughts are going between Sabro, Talus, or Huel Melon. Or Cashmere. I don't think it's melony enough for Cashmere.
It's not melony enough for the Melon Club.
No.
Right.
I'm going Talus.
You're going to lock that one in?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to cover my mouth so that way no one can even read my lips, and we're going to bleep this one out. That's the answer. Joe's just been given the answer.
Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Because you made me second guess myself. Just like you second guess yourself when we were doing Yonder. You happy now?
I am actually. I root for your successes. But also, ooh, it feels quite good to be me today.
But this is a thing,
and
right?
So I immediately, I did get this when I had it on. I feel like this was quite distracting, the way it's come across when we originally had it in the can. When I had it on tap.
At the tap room.
And when I had it on tap at the beer festival, I literally was like, I think it might be this, and I'm not sure. And then someone came around and were like, is it this? And they were like, yeah. And we're like, seriously? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I just got a full house. I just got a full house. Like, I was like, go me. Excellent. I didn't get it when we first had it because I couldn't work out what it was because I was getting this mint flavour, which I now feel like might have just been sun cream. Based on my today experience, might have been sun cream. But it did just land slightly different when I had it on tap again. I mean, am I happy about it? No, I'm not going to celebrate that.
But this also am I going to be okay with it?
Yeah.
There's also a good example of the power of suggestion and how, like, when you're tasting things and when you're tasting things and you start having those discussions, this is why when people are like in competitions and judging beer, they try not to have a conversation until after they've done their notes, because someone will say something to you and it can completely change your perception of what you're tasting, or you go, oh yeah, and you can like...
I didn't say anything. I let you work that one out. I said nothing.
You didn't say nothing.
I just said, oh, I get mint and then sun cream. I validated what you said. You said sun cream and I validated. Yes, I also get sun cream. I didn't give you any new suggestions for it. I was already in the pot. Don't worry, you're not fired. It's fine. You'll recover. You'll come back stronger than ever. Don't worry. Let me have on this one.
I was put through this sort of test the first time I went to Germany for work.
Were they like, guess the hop? That's way more stressful than guess the hops game.
Yeah, there's an aroma tunnel, and there's different, like, you there's a screen and you like kind of say, like, do you want beginner or do you want advanced? And my big boss was like, you're doing advanced, right? Pick one. And I was like, oh,
that's
okay, we'll do
really
that.
Stressful.
And then you pick a jar up off of the wall, and then you have to say what aroma it is.
I don't like that. That's a lot. Right.
He was like, I'm going to fire you if you don't get this right.
Well, that's why you're like, if I don't get this right, I'm fired.
I was like, it is gingerbread. And he was like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
That's why you're like, you've got this deep-seated fear that you're going to get fired.
It's PTSD.
I'm certainly not going to fire you. If anything, I just go, wow, look at how far I've come. This is great. I don't acknowledge your loss. I just go, you know what? You did good, kid. Well done, me.
Well done. Well done.
For once.
I'm very proud
of
you.
I'm on the scoreboard. It's just showing that I've learned and I've grown, and it impresses even me sometimes. So there we go. That was great. I love the fact that you just tried to blame that on me, like the power of suggestion, as if I did anything there.
You kept talking about mint.
I said the same thing to you. We were at the tap room last time.
Yeah, but it was different.
And I said, it's not. And I literally said, it is not mint.
But you said mint.
I said.
And that literally goes into your brain.
I said, the first time we had it, it tasted like mint, and it no longer does. You're right. It tastes like sun cream.
Suggestion.
Don't put that on me. Which one was your favourite? A, B, or C?
I think C, actually.
C was your favourite.
Yeah.
Right.
I think A might have been my favourite.
That checks out though for us.
Does it though?
As we know.
Does it though?
Well, they are. I think it does.
I don't think it does.
No?
No. And I feel like if I tell you why on camera, that will absolutely give it away. So I can't.
We'll save that for afterwards.
Jo, if people want to talk to you about some more tasting techniques and their overall, like they want to sort of learn more about hops and get suggestions on single hop beers, where can they talk to you?
I mean, don't talk to me at the minute because I've got no voice.
But where can they text you?
You can message me. You'll probably get more out of me that way. You can find me at Love Beer Learning, which is my beer school. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok and Pinterest. I'm pretty much just updating Instagram, so come find me there. Or you can come to my website, which actually has some beer tasting videos that show you how to taste beer and the techniques that we've been using today. And there are also blog posts about different hops, about different beers you can find over there. And that is lovebeerlearning.co.uk. Or you can email me, lovebeerlearning@gmail.com. Tori, if people want to...
They want to congratulate me. They want to congratulate me on my victory.
They want to congratulate you for your win.
Yeah.
They want to ask you what the hops are, because you know.
Yeah, because I know. You can congratulate me on my win. You can... but we don't count victories, because we're all winners here at All Women's Brew Podcast. But, you know. Or if you want to sort of recommend other sort of mystery hops or any events that are mystery guess the beer events, I really love this stuff. This is probably the stuff that I find the most fun. If you know of any places that are doing blind tastings, any shops online that I can order things like this, please let me know. Come find me on Instagram at adventures_in_optimism. I'm pretty much just there. You can email me at adventuresinoptimism@gmail.com if you want. But you can just keep up with me and my stories on Instagram. So yeah, that is it. On that note, Jo, let's go drink our beer and you can go rest your voice.
Let's.
Cheers.